Thanks. It's cool to see some references to what we're doing already and the power of open source. So that's really cool to be in a very collaborative room. So we're trying to build the like a modern block-based editing experience for the open web. So quick run through of I want to share what we've been up to past year mostly and look a little bit forward to next year. So first a little bit of an introduction to Blocknote. We'll do a quick demo to show you how it works for those not familiar with it. We'll show what we've done mostly in 2025 and kind of like our ideas of what's ahead. So for those who are not familiar, here's like a quick 10-second overview of what you can do with our editor. We started building this a couple of years ago when we needed an editor like this for ourselves, and then we noticed, this is actually a lot more work than expected. Was hoping there'd be something existing that we could really easily reuse. And though there was great low-level open source libraries, it was still a lot of work to build something with a good UX and a good developer experience on top of it. So we started with Blocknote, and the idea is, we have a good UX included, so a Notion-style block-based UX, including all the UI components that you might need. Easier APIs. So no low-level position juggling for those who are familiar with lower-level text editors. Block-based design, and internally we're proud to build really on some high-quality open-source libraries like ProseMirror for managing the DOM content editable, and YJS to power collaboration with CRDTs. We started kind of spinning out of a research project sponsored by NLNet. And then the last 1.5 year or so, Alex mentioned it, and I think Wieland also mentioned it. We've been really proud to and fortunate to collaborate with Zendesk and Dinam from France. They're building a, they reached out 1.5 year ago, we're building La Suite Docs in our collaboration, which is like a Notion-style collaboration, document collaboration product. And we're using Blocknote for it. It works great. Can we help you take it to the next level? We also need this and this and this. So that's also really accelerated our product and organization last year. Besides that, we're also supported by industry, so now we see more and more sponsors over the last year. I think 2025 for us was really a year where we went from something that started as a side project to a small team, so it's like four of us now, with a mix of different sponsorship models. One thing that's core to Blocknote is blocks. Nothing to do with blockchain, but about the cool little pieces in the editor, just to make that clear. Why blocks and why this kind of editor? If you look at different formats existing, so let's position ourselves a little bit like what we're trying to be. We're not like a pure markdown editor. It's a little bit too limited. If you want advanced formatting or colors or something like that, that's not easily possible with a simple markdown editor. And we also definitely don't want to be a Word-style editor because all of us have seen these kind of like Word documents that have a super inconsistent layout and design because you can change the font here and everything there. And so you kind of end up with a little bit of a messy thing. So that's also not our goal. What we want to do is have a better UX. And for us, blocks are the answer to this. So it help blocks help users to create structured content naturally, and we call that prioritizing content over form. So you end up with nice and structured documents. And this same principle also really helps in the developer experience. So because everything is a block, you can easily address it by an ID. You have a clear schema of what kind of blocks are allowed in the document, and it makes it easier to work with as a developer. On to Nick for a quick demo about that. And I'll need to I'll try to hold this with you.
Yes. Okay. So what I want to go over here is a little bit about how you actually use Blocknote in terms of the API and such. So over the past year, we've put a lot of effort into the ability to customize the editor. So you'll see here that I have a very simple document editor. So you can see that there's a bunch of elements that you can add to the editor. So all of these are blocks that are available by default and built into the system. And on the left-hand side, you can see all of the code that it actually took to get that to happen. So what we're really trying to go for here is a really easy-to-use, out-of-the-box experience, whereas many other lower-level editors tend to force you to build out all of this content yourself, rather than it being provided by default. But what we've done on top of this is, well, actually, I should go over the code a little bit. So you'll see here that Blocknote is based off, we're using React as the framework. And you'll see that there's this use create Blocknote hook that actually gives us an editor instance, and then we can render it out. So what I'm going to show here is actually adding to the schema. So what you'll see here is that we can extend and add additional features into the editor by extending its schema. So you can choose what blocks you actually want inside of your editor. So what I've done here is created a very simple alert block, which we've spent the over the past year, one of the major refactors that we've done is worked on the actual API for defining these custom blocks and adding them into the editor. So Blocknote in general, we heavily focus on type safety, structured schema. Like, that's kind of our whole bit, is that everything in the editor, its content is completely type safe. It's always valid content. So what you'll see here is that there is this configuration that describes what an alert block has as. So it's the block's type, so it's an alert block, and the properties that it's available to have. So this is defined in a way that it can be validated at runtime. And the content that the actual alert block supports. So in this case, it's allowed to have content inside of it. So you'll see that there's a very simple function for describing how to map that that block, which is just a JSON object at this point, and how to map that into something that actually renders into the editor. So what we can do here is go ahead and actually add that block to the editor. So again, very simple example, so you can actually see how it actually renders out. So you'll see here that we have defined this severity property for the alert block, and defined that it should change its background color based on that severity. And I had added a button that actually will insert that new element, the new block, into the editor. So what I would really like to stress here and show off is that everything is type safe. So you can see that the actual properties of the alert block are being validated. So you can actually also see the different types of blocks. Since we've extended the Blocknote schema here, there was a number of blocks that were already built into the editor. And so we were just adding on the alert block to the list, essentially. So you can see that there's a number of other. So you'll see that there's a list of all the blocks that are available in the editor. And all of this is defined in a type-safe way. So yeah, I think that's the majority of what I wanted to show off. We spent a good amount of time over the year to work and refine the API for defining these blocks and allowing for more customization into the editor.
Nice, and I think what's important to keep in mind with this, so thanks for the demo, is like, okay, because we're, thank you. because it's an editable service, right? It's a little bit different than when you're just making a web app, so having this type safety, am I good? Okay, cool. Because an editor is a dynamic service, so these kind of things are a little bit more complex than when you're building a regular apps, right? So looking back at 2025, so what we've been focusing on and some key numbers, again, I think a project is really taking off now, and that's cool to see, and I think you can see it in these numbers. So we've done over 60 releases, lots of PRs, and we've grown from, I think it was like 30K, this is like NPM downloads, right? It's the best stat that we have, but big question marks, but at least it was like 30,000 about a year ago, and now we're at like 120 or 130,000 weekly downloads. So it's really nice to see the adoption, and apparently to see our project really resonate with the community. We worked on many different things, so definitely a lot of features going from exporter system. I'll go over some of these in a bit. A lot of like API enhancements, but I'm even more proud that we were also able to also really invest in the core that has been around for a couple of years, but to really make sure that the core is also sustainable and being able to refactor parts of this. So, for example, this custom block API that Nick just showed, like with which you can make your own alert block in the demo. Last year, we migrated all our default blocks to actually also use the external API. First version of our AI integration, and it's been designed so you can have an agent understand the document, and then hand in hand with the AI, you can understand the document, so you can ask questions, you can redact the document, so ask it to make changes, or write new content hand in hand. And you can really integrate this, of course, with your own language model, so you're not bound to any service or whatsoever that we build. And it's done in a way, what we call like human in the loop. So the AI, you really see it writing as a collaborator. You can accept and reject changes, so the end user is still in control. It's not like some random robot taking control of your document. Here's a more advanced demo. Some of this is still to come, but most of it is available already. So here's a template document, and now I demonstrate that it's also possible to connect certain tools. So look up some information about the European Union. It does a web search on the back end with an AI tool, and now you see it making those suggestions in the document. I can review them, and as a user, I can say, okay, accept these changes, and then they become part of the document. Connecting a web search might be one thing that you like, but maybe you want to connect like a RAG system or your own database, or have it look up something about your colleagues or about other documents that you've written earlier. You can make all these integrations yourself. Suggestions and versioning. Really looking forward to this. This is something that we expect. We've done a prototype on this last November and December in close collaboration with Kevin Jans from the YJS project. This was sponsored by Denum and Zendesk. And so this is about what we call asynchronous collaboration, so making different versions. I think I'm in front of the screen. Being able to see and diff changes between versions. And also to go into suggested mode, so what you might know as track changes, suggestions, and you can maybe you have a user that doesn't have permissions for the base document, but wants to suggest some changes, and then the the owner of the document can accept or reject those changes. And we want to, as part of that, we also want to make it possible so that you can store metadata, keep it in the version history, keep a complete overview of who did what and when. So we call that attributions. That's going to be, let me quickly see. We're hosting, co-hosting a local first dev room tomorrow, and there's going to be a presentation about the technical stuff behind that and a little bit of sneak peek of what's upcoming and also what's coming in the new version of YJS to enable all this. Some other things that are ahead of us. So I mentioned async collaboration. Of course, there are some features that we have top of mind that we would love to work on. We also want to keep working on some of the foundations like we have done last year. There's always things to improve there. Well, I think this was illustrated very clearly by Jos in the last talk, so we don't want to lose sight of that. And I think also as our project matures, as we have more people working on it, as we have more people depending on it, I think actually there's also we want to spend more time looking at the overall ecosystem around Blocknode. So that means, okay, how can we be transparent in terms of our roadmap? How do we govern the project? But also thinking more about things like extension systems. Can we make that even easier? We've done some investments in the extension API last year, but can we make this even easier? Maybe like an extension gallery where the community can create and share extensions, etc. But also think about other interoperability related features like standardization of these kind of documents. And really look beyond just the editor, or just the new features, but really at Blocknode as a project. Thanks. We use YJS, the CRDT, for powering the collaborative features. Basically, we think like YJS is kind of like an industry standard for this. We also directly work with Kevin for these kind of more advanced features. We always keep an eye on different things. So tomorrow in the local first dev room, I think there might be a session related to LoRo as well. But the reality is like, okay, we're pretty into YJS at this moment. So I've done, haven't done like an advanced comparison. Nick might be more into this topic, but maybe that's more on the side. Yes?
So user story. I worked in a company which was using Notion. And for me, it was hardly readable. I don't even speak about editing the wiki. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to move to another company. I don't know what they have, but if I had to suggest them Blocknode, would my life be better?
Nice. Thanks for the question. So the question is, it was difficult for you, I expect, for accessibility reasons to work in Notion at the previous company that you worked, and would your life be better working in Blocknode? It's a little bit challenging to say because Notion is like an end-user application and we are just like an editing service, so it also very much depends on the editor around it. We've done some sprints on accessibility, and we expect also in collaboration with some of the sponsors to do larger sprints on top of accessibility this year. So I can't guarantee you that as of this moment, but it will be, I will be really happy if the end of this year, I can say with 100% confidence, yes. So let us give a try to accomplish that. Milan?
Yeah, so I already said we are using Blocknode, an open project, and of course we extended the schema to have links to work packages, which are our main entities in our project. But I don't know the good ideas that I have in a year, like how my schema should actually should have looked at, like in the beginning. So my question is, in your example, you had an alert with I think like four values. Let's say we replace error by fatal.
Yeah.
Fatal. and we want to migrate, let's say, 100,000 documents.
Yep.
Change that. Is there any concepts how we can do this? Like, oh yeah, we need to improve that.
So the question is, okay, how to deal with migrations of the schema? So let's say you supported specific kinds of blocks, and let's say you change the severity that Nick demoed from error to fatal. I'll skip the Spanish part. how do you go about that? I think that's a good question. There is, as in most migrations, this is, I would say this is similar to most migrations. So at this moment, you have multiple options. It's like either make your new application compatible with both formats, and then on the client, you can choose to either upgrade it or to show the same interface when it's error or fatal. or you find a way to migrate your data. I know there has been quite some research in systems that kind of like keep migrations in the client and automatically try to upgrade things. I know that are currently React, so most of the UI components are based in React. So we keep the option open for the future, but I don't see it happen this year.
I have a follow-up on this. In Crystal, the project from XWiki, we are Vue.js, so we have plenty of modules that we've done specifically to allow the integration of block nodes in Crystal. So we have specific modules that can also supplement the modules of block nodes.
And I have a follow-up remark also. In Tenzu, we use block nodes, and we are in Angular. And so if you want an example of block not working with Angular, and I suppose it's available also with you,